Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Clemmer with AngioDynamics. I'm joined today by Executive Vice President and CFO Michael Greiner. We'll be happy to take questions this afternoon at the J.P. Morgan conference. Any questions first from the live audience? If there's no questions, we'll give a quick summary and recap. We just spoke for a few minutes in the other room. Spoke briefly about our 2019 Q2 results that we posted on Friday. AngioDynamics has a fiscal year that begins on June 1 each year. So November 30th was the end of our second quarter on our operating fiscal year. So on Friday, we reported our second quarter earnings. I'll have Michael give a quick update in a second. So we spoke a little bit at the conference about our second quarter update, mid-year update on our performance year to date. We reaffirmed our guidance that we set forth earlier in the year. But most importantly at the conference, we're able to speak to our investors and our analysts about the vision we have for our company and how we'll be different going forward, how we can create value to the three most important stakeholders we have. Number one, our customers who buy and use our products. Two, our employees that help drive our execution of our vision. And third, our shareholders that deserve a fair return if we accomplish our goals. So what we've done as a management team since I joined our company nearly 3 years ago, and people like Michael have joined just after that, we think we found an area or a couple areas for us to focus the bulk of our investments in. AngioDynamics has a 30-year history of being a well-trusted provider of high-quality clinical devices, mostly centered around the interventional radiologists and their need for devices and their trust on us, which is really great. But going forward, if we're going to grow our company in the manner that we'd like to, create more value from us, we're going to leave some of the history behind and look at portfolio management as an important aspect of our company and practice it a bit differently than it has been. So we look across our portfolio today. We have 11 different categories under three GBUs that they're managed by. Each of these businesses, if you stood them on their own, generate cash and profit and are good businesses. But going forward, we have to look at the AngioDynamics that we are today and want to be tomorrow. And we think having 11 categories in a company with roughly $360 million of revenue could be too many. We think we also compete across the spectrum of devices horizontally within vascular access, peripheral vascular, and oncology, three different areas. We compete from really, really tiny companies that are very undisciplined with good devices up to the largest device company on earth, Medtronic, and everybody in between. So that's a lot to compete against. Luckily, we're good at it, but it's still a lot on a horizontal scale. Now, you look at us vertically. We sell really high-tech medical devices, things like our Celero microwave, like our new Ortrack dosimetry monitoring system, and our AngioVac clot removal system. Really high-tech, high-end, well-designed devices. We also compete with medical supplies, with PICC lines and ports and other chemo delivery items that we're really, really good at. But so do other companies like BD Bard and other companies that drive value and volume. I don't know if we're always the best structured company to fight that battle, even with our unique technologies and great products and good service in that space. Then we also look at other areas. We have other things that you could argue today might be commodities, whereas 30 or 40 years ago, they were different levels of devices. You look at our fluid management business, one of our most widely best performing businesses. We do really, really well. It's our largest single business. Today, we have over 5,000 SKUs and an $85 million business. We reported 7% growth last quarter. We're really, really good at it. We have a great brand name in NAMIC that's well respected. But every day, we compete in other areas. And there's other people that do that really, really well. So we want to make sure that we're the right owner of our businesses to continue to drive value, give our customers, our employees, and our shareholders the value they expect as they have a piece of that equation. And we also want to make sure we utilize our resources in areas that we can grow going forward. We found that in the thrombus management area, centered by our AngioVac product, and in our ablation and oncology area, centered by our unique technologies, we think we have a lot of reasons to grow and invest. That's really the bulk of the conversation we had today. I'll pass to Michael for a quick update on our financials.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. As we talked about on Friday, we were very pleased with the overall top-line results. Grew 5.5%, a nice mix from inorganic and organic growth. Jim talked about the two acquisitions we made in our oncology business, Radiodyne and BioCentury, contributing to that inorganic growth. Gross margins expanded 440 basis points. There's a bunch of things we've been doing over the past year, and we're starting to now lap some of those from a cost improvement standpoint, both on the supply chain side, closing down some plants, and doing some other work in a raw material sense. So we feel really good about the trajectory there. And as Jim mentioned, we'll finish the year with a full year gross margin of 54% to 55% and exit in the fourth quarter of 55% plus gross margin. So we feel really good about the progress we've made there and more to come in the subsequent years. And then we continue to show a very nice free cash flow profile. We have very little in the way of CapEx needs. We've basically been around $2 to $3 million over the last several years. We don't anticipate that changing, although there could be a two-quarter or three-quarter opportunity where we could spend $4 to $5 million of CapEx in the next few years to update some of the equipment, but it'll mostly be maintenance CapEx. And then when you look at our balance sheet position and our capital allocation opportunities, Jim talked about our focus on return on invested capital. It's taken us a little bit longer to do some of the M&A we've previously discussed. And part of that is just finding the right deals that, one, and most importantly, fit our strategy that we've talked about. And Jim laid that out a little bit further just a little while ago. And also making sure that the valuation made sense. So we do have a fair amount of capital to do the things we want to do. But given our size, we don't have endless capital. So we have to be better than some others when we think about allocating towards M&A. And I think we've done a really nice job out of the gate here with the first two that we've done. And we anticipate there'll be more of that as we get through the calendar year 2019 and beyond. So between our free cash flow generation, our current balance sheet position, and our focus on capital allocation, we think the strategic opportunities that Jim talked about are all very well within our grasp. We will stay patient. One of the questions we've gotten a lot today through our one-on-ones and talking to other investors is, have things moved as fast as you'd like in the portfolio, broadly the portfolio optimization? And they've not moved necessarily as fast as we'd like, but they've moved at the right pace for what we're finding and what we're identifying and what we're willing to pay from a valuation standpoint. So we feel really good about where we are right now, and we'll continue to look at those opportunities inorganically. And then organically, Jim referenced our R&D approach being very different now than it was 2-3 years ago. We don't have a huge pipeline of opportunity in our R&D. We have some key areas where we're focused, where our R&D and our clinical spend, like with the FDA study that we're hoping to launch here in the not-too-distant future around pancreas, we have the right funding there and we have the right focus there. So we feel really good about where we're allocating our capital, the returns against that allocation on that capital, and we'll remain disciplined and patient until we find the right opportunities. And that's a commitment we've made to our investors over the last couple of years, and hopefully we've demonstrated that with some of the things we've executed on.
So thank you for joining us at the conference. We'll open the floor to questions if there are any.
How important is the vascular access cash flow to the growth of your oncology business?
Sure. So I'm going to repeat your question just for the people on the phone. So the question was, how important is the cash flow for our vascular access products, I think, to fund our investments in the other areas? Mm-hmm. So really, vascular access, it's funny. You look back for a few years, it's a really good business. We haven't performed that well. The PIC revenue decline has offset the other three businesses there and has caused a real challenge for us. The last 3 or 4 quarters, we've seen that ship turn. Really great performance. We have new selling and marketing people that are really skilled, well-trained, combined with our BioFlow technology, unique products. We now have 3 of the 4 categories growing consistently. Our ports, our dialysis catheters, and our midlines. So we've grown the business, the numbers we've reported Friday. Assume it'll be stable going forward. Generates a good amount of free cash for us. It's helping us and enabling us to do what Michael said earlier, but it's not the reason to own the business. We own it because we're a good owner today and we have good technology. It fits in our portfolio. But today, if we just managed it for cash, we'd be underinvesting in it long term. So we have to make strategic initiative decisions to make sure we're investing in it. Now, something we did do, the group there launched a product called Beam earlier this year, a handheld wireless ultrasound for vein identification, which helps caregivers place PICs and ports and other things with a really unique, innovative, disruptive technology. Anytime you launch something that disruptive and unique, it has challenges, but it's really been well received. And the Beam technology is just one piece of innovation that even a group like that, that doesn't have a lot of R&D funding, but they're very innovative because our sales and marketing teams and R&D teams are very close to our customers and listen and find these opportunities. So ultimately, it spurs off good cash today, but it's not really incumbent for us to have that to make the investments that we need. As Michael and I outlined earlier, and he can give you more detail, we have a really strong balance sheet today. We throw off a lot of cash. We have a good debt to cash ratio. So we think we're financially strong. The two deals that we did already this year, you saw how we've been able to do those. I mean, Michael identified today we could probably do three more as we stand today. So we think we have the capital funding where we want it, the deals that we want. Sure.
Jim, some of your competitors are exploring ablation, immuno-oncology combinations and opportunities.
So the question was, again, about other companies in the space, other competitors exploring ablation technology.
Immuno.
Yeah, exploring ablation in combination with immuno-oncology. Repeating it for the question. So good question. I didn't talk about it a lot there. So we have a research partner that we use for our NanoKnife development. We have, you know, new products in our iteration, in our pipeline for NanoKnife expansion over time. We've also done some research with our technology partner, and I've seen some, you know, early but compelling aspects of immuno-oncology effects of the unique way that IRE works. So over time, one of the slides we presented today showed you why PANC is so important to us to treat these folks with pancreatic cancer. We put so much energy and effort to getting our FDA approval, we hope soon, for IDE. From there, if you look across that slide, we showed three other organs. The final one was brain, because we've seen some unique things in our research that allows us and enables us to think that we can do some work in brain due to the non-thermal effects of our product. And also, we've seen some things. It's always careful. I don't want to, you know, everyone's using immunotherapy and immuno-oncology today in careful terms. I'm going to be more cautious than opportunistic. We've seen some unique things there that we're going to continue research on. So I can't react or speak to what other competitors are doing, but we like what we've seen in our research so far. But until I can deliver something to you today to show the value of NanoKnife, I don't want to lead you too far down that path. Let us deliver that first. We're keeping an eye on other things out there, but we're so compelled by our technology and our research partners' work in those spaces that we want to share that with you when the time is right. Thank you. Good question. So good. Great. Well, again, with no other questions, we'll thank you for joining us today. Thank you for the folks at J.P. Morgan to hold a wonderful conference each year, and even the rain is holding off partially, I think, so we can maybe maintain a dry outlook tonight. But thank you for joining us today and giving us a chance to articulate AngioDynamics to you. Appreciate you joining us at the conference.